Bob Miller's GA Report Card. Are you happy with a D-? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller, CFI, founder of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, and also the founder of Bob Miller Flight Training in the Buffalo, New York area. And we still get together every Monday to talk about safety issues, and today we're going to deal with some content that was in Bob's June edition of Over the Airwaves, and specifically the lead article entitled The GA Report Card and some of the implications of what Bob wrote. Bob, thanks for taking some time out today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today, Paul.
Let's start with the GA Report Card. This is not going to be a big surprise to longtime readers of Over the Airwaves, but go into some of the specifics of what prompted you to write this article in this issue.
Well, you know, when we look at the numbers, what's happening in general aviation, we have the big leadership groups, the membership groups, waving the flag and telling us that, we're good and we're getting better. I'm not sure that they recognize or leastwise are telling us just how precipitous a condition that general aviation currently is. You know, we're down, our numbers are down, our pilot starts are well below one half of where they were just a few years ago. If you look at the sale of new aircraft, we've dropped some 46% since 2008, according to the General Aviation Manufacturers Association. The total annual hours flown is down some 33% since from 1998 to 2009. This is according to the FAA's own data. But yet you look at our accident rate, that remains unchanged. We're still flat-lined, and we've been that way since for the past 10 years. So if you really wanted to quantify or objectify where we are as an industry, I'd give it an easy D plus. I don't think that we're in any kind of a position to be waving flags and rallying people around the courtyard. This is something that we need to confront. We need to address it. This is something that I know our colleagues over at SAFE, Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, has been addressing. It's something that I've been talking about for nearly 10 years in Over the Airwaves. It's a pretty grim situation, and if we allow it to continue down this road, general aviation, as we know it, will eventually become extinct. And I'm talking about within a decade or so.
Well, Bob, I think part of the problem, too, is that we don't have any good data. I mean, you mentioned a series of numbers there, but in particular, the one that jumps out at me is the total average annual hours flown for single-engine piston. And if I understand correctly, the only ways the FAA has to measure, if it's even a measurement, is by surveying and by looking at the sales of avgas. And neither one of those are great data.
No, and you're absolutely right. That's how they do it. And I've seen these surveys come through. They come through our office, intended to the owners of the aircraft that we lease. Those owners never see those surveys. We use a denominator data called 100,000 hours flown. You know, we peg our accident rates to 100,000 hours flown, but as you point out, we don't really have an objective way of determining that other than what I consider to be a very simple way. You know, every registered aircraft in the United States goes through an annual. Every, you know, normally certified aircraft goes through an annual. What's to prevent the IA, the inspector, to simply make note of the total hours that aircraft flew since the last annual and report that number to a third party? It could be the FAA, or it could be a civilian contractor hired by the FAA, and really come up with an objective total number of hours flown each year. And not only would we have the total hours flown, but we would also have it by make, by model, by year. We could tease it out by type of aircraft. I mean, this is a wonderful way to get objective information for the denominator in all of the rate calculations that we need, whether it's the total hours flown or the accident rate per hour or per 100,000 hours flown. It would be a great way to do it. I mentioned this fact and this observation to Mel Cintron, who's head of the AFS 800, the General Aviation Corporate Division of the FAA, in the meeting in Atlanta last month, and he agreed. You know, he said this estimates that we're using is just a real flaky number. Why we're sticking to that? Lots of potential reasons.
Well, and I can understand anybody's concern over reporting to the FAA the number of hours flown since the last annual, because if nothing else, we know that there's some percentage of airplanes that are flying past when their annuals are due, and that would make that pretty obvious, I think, if that was reported. And the other thing is that it would have to be associated with an N number, or you couldn't track it apples to apples from year to year. So in my mind, this is something that the associations could be doing, which would be another layer of shielding from privacy concerns. However, I'm not sure AOPA, now that it's in the business of raising revenue more than almost anything else, it seems, wants its advertisers or other clients to know that it represents a demographic that is declining in economic activity.
Well, yeah, and you've addressed several of the reasons why it's staying. I think, you know, you might think that we don't want to report how many hours, perhaps, our particular aircraft have been flown, but we report how many hours we fly every 2 years when we get a medical. I mean, that information is requested, and that supposedly is a sworn statement when you sign your medical application that all the facts are accurate. And so you're attesting to the fact of how many personal hours you flew since your last medical. As far as AOPA is concerned, I think you're right. That perhaps nobody in the organization, in organizational leadership, whether it be the FAA itself or AOPA or EAA, really wants to know just how desperate a condition we're in terms of total number of hours flown. Anecdotally, Paul, I fly over, you know, dozens of general aviation airports in any given week in flight training. And I look down and I can see as we fly over, fewer and fewer aircraft are sitting out on the ramp. And in my travels, I go, and I think anybody listening to this broadcast will attest to the fact that you go out to the local airports and it's not what it was, you know, a couple of years ago. We could blame it on the economy, but, you know, Paul, in the 70s, I remember coming out of the 60s and in the early 70s when we were, you know, parceling out gas to people every other day, we were all nearly, our economy was, you know, really in the dumper. We had 18% interest rates, but back then, general aviation was still thriving. Something else is going on, and I have my own opinion as to what's going on, but certainly our industry is, at one point I thought it was our fatal accident rate that it was our dirty little secret. I think now our dirty little secret is the fact that our numbers are so precipitously down that nobody wants to talk about it, certainly those that are trying to rally the troops. But rallying the troops, that's not the way to do it in 2011. We have to confront the problem, deal with the problem, and find out what's going on. You know, your colleague and my colleague, Jim Campbell, the proprietor of AeroNewsNet, he's already taking steps to try and find out what the problem is. And maybe through his efforts and some of the folks that he's working with, we'll come up with a new way of looking at things. And then when we do that, perhaps be able to fix the problem.
More in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm talking with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about his assessment of general aviation, which in report card terms he rates a D-. Bob, in the spirit of bring me solutions, not problems, let me move to the last section of your treatment of the topic in the June issue, and that is, what can general aviation pilots do to help solve this problem? You mentioned specifically support for SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. But membership in SAFE is obviously not open to all GA pilots. So what exactly are you proposing here?
Well, you know, one of the things that I don't want to sound like a one-trick horse here, but I am of the firm opinion that our leadership, international organizations, is not getting it. They're not getting it. They are hell-bent on protecting the status quo. The only thing that's going to change that, I believe, is a change in leadership. We've had a change in leadership over the last couple of years at AOPA. I think we still need another one. Over at the Air Safety Foundation, Bruce Landsberg does a whale of a good job in at least collecting and reporting the data. But unfortunately, there's always such a spin put to the data that it's difficult to really see what this information is telling us. And I think we're desperately in need of a leadership change over there. Now, that's not going to happen voluntarily. The only way that that will happen is if their members suddenly, begin to look at things through something other than rose-colored glasses and perhaps hold back on their membership dues or send them someplace else. And when the Board of Trustees of AOPA get the annual report and they start seeing a rapid decline in membership, that's usually a signal that something needs to be done at the leadership level. I hate to be negative in that regard. AOPA, has done some remarkably good things, but those remarkably good things are now being overshadowed by an old world approach to looking at this problem. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to send a message to those. They claim to be the voice of general aviation. Their voice is not my voice, believe it. Believe me, a change needs to be done, and I don't know how else to do it other than perhaps through our membership dues and how we choose to spend those dollars.
All right. Well, Bob, if someone wants to get a hold of you to comment on this topic, how is the best way to do that? I know that every once in a while you have comments in over the airwaves from readers. How does someone get a hold of you to get those comments to you?
You can email me anytime at rjma@rjma.com. You can go to overtheairwaves.com, and there's ways through that you'll see to email me. You can go to our own website, bobmillerflighttraining.com, and there's information there. You know, I know my views are somewhat on the fringe, but right now we need some fringe thinking. We cannot use the traditional status quo, just hope that things will get better. We can't accept this as a cost of doing business. We have to recognize that we are on a slippery slope and going dangerously in the wrong direction. Something needs to be done, and rather quickly.
All right. Well, Bob, as always, we appreciate your stir in the pot. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
Bob Miller has been my guest. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.